Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
In honor. I love the book of John, don't you? Matter of fact, I recommend anybody that just got saved or anybody that's just getting in church to read through the book of John. The book of John will help you know who Jesus is and what Jesus is really all about. Amen. I want to call your attention to one miracle here in chapter number 5. The Bible said this in verse number 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately, I mean right then, man, quick, fast, and in a hurry, the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now look back what the Bible said in verse number 5. And a certain man was there. And a certain man was there. I underlined in my Bible, a certain man. Then I drawed a line over to the edge of my Bible, and here's what I put. Mr. John Doe. His name's not mentioned. We don't know his name. Nowhere in here do we find his name. So I named him this morning, and I want to preach on this thought. When Jesus healed Mr. John Doe. Father, I love you today, and I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. I pray that your will and way would be done in this service, Father. You know the need of it. I pray, God, Father, that you'd touch us mentally, spiritually, and physically today. Lord, if there's anybody here lost that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that they come to know you as their personal Savior. And God, will give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Again, I love the book of John. Matter of fact, I love the whole Bible. Can I get an amen right there? I love the book of John. I love what's happening in the book of John. I love to read about the miracles and the different things that's going on. But I want to call your attention into this miracle this morning. Whenever you study it out, you'll find out that this is the only place that it is recorded. It's one of the few that is just recorded in one of the Gospels. Matter of fact, most of the miracles you'll find recorded in several different of the Gospels whenever you study the Word of God out. Now, I want to say this to you. Whenever you begin to study the miracles of Christ, you'll find out that some of the Gospels record it just a little bit different than the other ones. Now, I want to clarify something by that. That does not mean that there's contradictions in the Word of God. That's not what that means. Here's what that means, is that one man saw it different than another man. The miracle is still the same. What Jesus did is still the same. Let me show you a few things about this pool by the way of introduction. Number one, I see this by way of introduction. I see the pity in the pool. The Bible said this, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Whenever you study this out, you'll find that this word means house of pity or house of mercy. Matter of fact, you'll find out that some says that they referred to this place in that day as the property of restoring health to the sick and infirm, the pity in the pool. In other words, it was a place where people come at their lowest condition and they got help. Now understand this with me. It wasn't the water that healed the people. It was who troubled the water that healed the people. Not the angel, but the Lord himself. Amen. Not only do I see the pity in the pool, but I see the porches for the pool. In the Bible, you'll find in verse number 2 that the Word of God said that there was 5 porches around this pool. Whenever you begin to study those porches out, it would be the construction of it would be something as we would know as a lean-to today. And you'll find out in studying it that one of the sides or two of the sides would be covered, and then the roof would be covered, and then one side would not be covered, and it would allow the air to come through it a little bit. You'll find that the geographical location of Palestine here was a very hot place, so it was a place where they could quote-unquote get underneath the shade and get out of the sun and wait for the waters to be troubled. Now, here's something else that's interesting about those porches is how many there was. The Bible said there was 5 porches there. 5 porches. You that studies numbers in your Bible knows what the number 5 is representation of in the Word of God. It is representation of grace. And can I say something today? Those people in the condition that they was in was trying to get to a pool and be healed, and God was showing them grace and allowing them to come by. I see this. I see the porches of the pool and the pity of it, but I see the people around this pool. I see the people around this pool. Can I just say this something to you about this pool right here? It was not a place that you took your camper and set up for a week. The people around it. The people are, you know what I do whenever we begin to go somewhere and plan a trip somewhere? I look at the people in that area. You say, are you profiling? No, but I'm not going where there's a bunch of trouble. Somebody say amen right there. Whenever you look at the people, listen to what the Bible said in verse number 3. I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. In these porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. You say, preacher, what was the people? Can I say this? It was people. Let me say it this way. It was people that needed help that had a multitude of different problems. If you hadn't figured it out yet, it's starting to look a lot like our churches today. Amen. People that's got a lot of different problems that's needing something from the master. Yeah, man. Can I just say this? I'm going to get ahead of myself, but can I say this? Let me tell you one reason you ended up going to a church probably at some point in time. You heard the waters was being troubled over there. And what I mean by that is this. You heard something was happening over at the church house. Amen. These people heard something was happening over at the pool. But then I see the problem about this pool. You see, there was a problem here. Whenever you study it out, the angel of the Lord would come and would trouble the waters, but only one person could be healed. It was the very first person into that pool. I would say this, if it was our day, I'm sure there would be a lot of security officers around this place. Let me tell you the reason why. There was probably a lot of fighting went on when the waters was troubled, because they knew if they was the first one in, they could get help. I want to look at John Doe this morning, though. John Doe's been at this pool. How long, we don't know. How long he's been sick, we do know. But how long he's been at this pool, I don't know. But I want to talk to you about this thought this morning. When Jesus touched, or when Jesus healed Mr. John Doe. When Jesus healed Mr. John Doe. Let me tell you the reason John Doe was where he was at, because he heard there was some help could be found over at the Pool of Bethesda. That's the reason he was there. Number one, this morning, let's look at Mr. Doe's condition. Mr. Doe's condition this morning. Look what the Bible said in verse number 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, watch this, 38 years. Mr. Doe, I hope you'll stay with me. I'm headed somewhere, and if you'll stay with me, I think we can get something this morning. Mr. Doe's condition this morning, I would say this about his condition. It was a lame condition. It was a lame condition. I began to study this out, and the word translated infirmity is from the same family of words translated without strength in Romans 5:6, and impotent in verse number 3. The word impotent means this, to be without strength, and it means to be powerless. Can I say something? Mr. Doe had a lame condition that day. In other words, he was in a place where within himself, he couldn't do nothing on his own. He had laid there by the Pool of Bethesda. I don't know if he had laid there the whole 38 years or how long he had laid there, but I know this, he had been there, and no doubt within his matter of fact, he tells us that he's not been able to get to the pool that day. His condition that day, he was weak. He was helpless within himself. You know what, you and I, matter of fact, I said this, Romans 5:6, the Bible says that we was without strength. Well, let me just read it to you. Can I read that verse to you? I marked it this morning. For when we were yet without strength, listen to the rest of this verse, in due time, in other words, can I say it this way, just right on time, in due time, listen to what the Bible said, Christ died for the ungodly. You see Mr. Doe's condition, he was in a lame condition, and it's a representation of you and I today, of the sin that we live in, of the sin that we was born in. It started all the way back with Adam and Eve, and I find it very interesting that this infirmity and without strength is from the same words in the Greek. And I find it so interesting that that is intertwined together right here, because you and I was in the same condition one day. We was weak. We was without God. There was nothing we could do on our own. I see his condition this morning. It was a lame condition, but can I say this? It was a long condition. It was a long condition. 38 years he had this problem. 38 years. I don't know about anybody else, but when I get sick, I think I'm going to die. Are you with me? My mama just looked at my daddy right then. I guess I get it from him. I think I'm going to die, man. I've had allergies, and yesterday we went up on the mountain up in Galax and rode bikes for a while on the New River Trail, and I eat pollen. You could taste it, Brother Brian, or I guess that's what it was. That's what I assume it was. And you know what, man, you get stopped up a little bit. Leslie fusses at me all the time because, man, it's the nebby pot. Somebody say amen. And then, you see, if you've never used the nebby pot, man, you're missing out. It's a miracle worker, man. The nebby pot, Advil, cold and sinus, Benadryl, Claritin. Are you with me? You take 42 things and then wonder why you're thirsting to death, because everything's drying you out. And it seems like allergy season will last 247 days. But in all, 38 years, this man has been in the condition that he is in. You know what? There's no doubt in my mind There's no doubt in my mind that there was times that he lay there and thought, I'll never get any help. I'll die in the condition that I'm in. No doubt this man woke up this morning, Mr. Doe, the morning of John chapter number 5. No doubt he woke up that morning and was thinking in the back of his head, it's just going to be another ordinary day. I'm just going to lay here. I'm going to watch somebody get help. And it's just going to be another ordinary day. His condition had him down, no doubt. He's battling depression, no doubt in my mind. He's battling depression and he's thinking, it's just going to be another ordinary day. You know what? You may have come in here this morning and your condition within your mind is real bad. And you're thinking, it's just going to be another ordinary day. Every day, but business is fixing. Business is fixing to pick up for old Mr. Doe right here. Number one, I see Mr. Doe's condition. Number two, I see Mr. Doe's conversation, though. His conversation. Did you know a conversation can change everything? It really can. A conversation can change everything. We've been putting some rough numbers down on this building. And I called another man this week and got him to price something else. And whenever I did, that conversation changed $60,000 in what we was budgeting. See, now, I don't know about anybody else, but I was really excited about that, okay? Very excited about that. All from a what I'm saying is this, a conversation can change a lot of things. Here Mr. Doe is. He's laying there beside the pool. There's people all around that's withered, that's lame, that's blind. There's people all around that can't walk, probably dumb and deaf. And there's people all around in all conditions. He's saying, you know what, somebody else is going to get help today, but not me. Somebody else is going to leave here today in a different situation, but not me. Oh, but there was a conversation took place with somebody that day. I want you to look at this conversation with me. The Bible said in verse number 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time, in that case he saith unto them, unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou? You see, Jesus decides to make a stop by this pool. Jesus, in his traveling, decides, you know what? I believe I'll stop by over here at the pool. There's a fella over there needing some help. Now, you know what? I thought about this. Jesus could have went to anybody else that day, but he came to Mr. Doe. Jesus could have went to anybody else that day, but he came to Mr. Doe. You know what? There'll be times in your life where it seems like he's going to everybody else, but all of a sudden, he'll show up on your doorstep. Oh, man, they may not be nobody else getting anything out of this, but all of a sudden, he'll show up right where you need him at. Jesus shows up that day. And he walks up to this man, this conversation, and he says, wilt thou be made whole? Now, when I first read that, I thought, now don't nobody write me off, okay? I'm not being disrespectful to Christ. Just think about the question. Would you walk up to an individual that was laying there that had been in that condition for 38 years that was trying to get help and say, wilt thou be made whole? In our mind, immediately, we think, well, this is a dumb question. What do you mean, wilt thou be made whole? But can I say something? Jesus don't ask dumb questions. You see, the question was this, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus wanted to make sure that man was interested in his help. You see, there's a lot of people today that just wants to wallow in their sorrow. Because in doing that, it brings more attention to them. They don't want to be made whole, because if they're made whole, then everybody's not going to make over them. Hello, Tokyo, I'm preaching real good. Jesus wants to make sure in this conversation that Mr. Doe is even interested in any help. And I say something, the question rings out to every individual in this room today. Wilt thou be made whole? If you're needing something from Christ, He has showed up. He's standing in the room. He's asking you today, wilt thou be made whole? Now watch the answer. Watch the answer. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Look at this answer. I see the honor in his answer. He said, sir. When you study that word out and you study the origin of it and the way it's translated here, you'll also find out that in the New Testament, this same word right here is translated the word Lord. Capital L-O-R-D, Lord. You see, that day there was honor in his answer. He recognized that the person standing in front of him was just not any old person. He recognized maybe he had heard what God had done in previous days through his son. Just maybe he had heard that Jesus had healed the lame, had made the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to talk. Maybe he had heard about the Gadarene maniac, and I don't know what all he had heard about, but he realized it just wasn't anybody standing there that day. He said, sir. He reverenced him for who he was. And can I say something? When Jesus knocks on your door and Jesus is wanting to have a conversation with you, it's not just anybody. He reverenced him. He said the honor in his answer, but look at the heartlessness in the answer. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. He said, yeah, I want some help, but there's nobody here to help me. He said, maybe I've laid here and nobody would take me to the pool. And here's what I really thought about the heartless condition of so many today in our country. There's a multitude that would get saved and come to church if somebody would just tell them. You say, preacher, why in the world would we spend $9,000 this year doing a mail-out? That's what that mail-out cost us, was $9,000. Why in the world would we spend $9,000 putting a postcard in 37,000 mailboxes in Surrey County? Let me tell you the reason why. There's some helpless people out there. They've got a condition, man, and if we're not careful, we'll look down our nose at them and we'll stereotype them. This man couldn't help the reason he was the way he was. I know some can help the reason they are the way they are, but it's still up to us. I see the helplessness in it. I see the hopelessness. While I am coming, another steppeth before me, but then I see the honesty in his answer. He never tried to convince Jesus he was something that he wasn't. He just told him straight up, man, I'm in a mess. Can I say it that way? I'm in a mess. I can't get to the pool. And let me tell you something, before you ever get help, you'll have to come to the point where you realize you're helpless. There's some things you can't fix, man. Hey, listen, there's some problems you can't fix. There's, oh, but I know a man. If you'll have a conversation with him. Oh, yeah, I see this. I see the Mr. Doe's condition, Mr. Doe's conversation. He said, he says, wilt thou be made whole? And then the conversation, he begins to talk back to him. Sirs, I have no man. But look in verse number eight. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Jesus comes back to him again. Jesus asked him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? The man responded to the question and answered it. Now Jesus responds back with a statement, not a question. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. rise, take up thy bed. He said, I've heard about your condition. I've heard about what you're going through. Now you've got one of two things you can do. You can keep laying here and wallowing in your self-pity, or you can get up and go on about your way. He said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. I see the conversation. Number three, I'm almost done. I see Mr. Doe's consenting. He consented to what the master said do. Look what the Bible said in verse number 9. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. He consented to what the master said do. You know something I find interesting? You care to start playing softly? Like she was going to say, yeah, I care. I'm not going up there right now. You know something I find interesting about John chapter number 5 and these first 12, 13, 14, 15 verses? Here's something I find so interesting about this. Nowhere, and I've read through this and read through this and read through this and read through this this week. Nowhere do I find that this man, when Jesus walks by, screams at Jesus and goes, hey, Jesus, I'm over here. That man had probably, Mr. Doe had probably come to the place in his life where he thought all hope was gone. Where he thought he was going to die in the condition that he was in. Nowhere did I find him hollering for Jesus. Nowhere did I find him asking Jesus to stop by where he's at. But Jesus, in his foreknowledge, somebody hold my mule while I shout. Jesus, in his foreknowledge, knew where that man was at, knew the condition of that man, knew how long that man had been in that condition. And Jesus, in his compassion and in his love, decided to go right to where that man was at. Say, wilt thou be made whole? The man answers him back and he says, arise. This man now has to consent to what Jesus is saying. You say, what if he would have never got up? I believe he'd have died laying beside the pool of Bethesda. I believe he'd have died laying right there. You see, any time that God or Christ is going to help you, they're going to put it back in your court to make the final decision. And he put it back in his court. I'm here. You can get up. He never even questioned him. Can you really do this? Man, there's so many things running through my mind right now. He never looked up at him and said, but do you not realize my condition? Do you not realize the shape that I'm in? You know what he done? Man, he sprung up on his feet immediately. Here's what we do so many times. When the Lord comes and pays us a visit and wants to have a conversation with us, and he says, arise, take up thy bed and walk. We say, but don't you realize? Don't you realize the addiction that I'm struggling with? Don't you realize the peer pressure that I'm battling? Don't you realize I've been this way for 38 years? Don't you realize who's talking to you? And I'm not talking about me. Don't you realize that it's the Savior? His consenting. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will save anybody. But you'll have to make the choice to accept what he's done. That man, when he was laying on the ground, was as good as healed. But he had to put faith in the words of Christ. And by standing up, he put faith in the words of Christ and consented. Don't fall out with me right here. If you're lost here this morning, you're as good as saved. Jesus has already shed his blood. He's already gave his life for you. Salvation is yours. It's time to get up and start walking. It's time to put your faith in the finished work of Christ. He's already done the work. He's already died on Calvary. You don't understand where I've been, preacher. You don't understand the life I've lived. You don't understand the man I'm talking about, evidently. There was his consenting. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 14. I like this. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed, watch this, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. It was Jesus. I see it's Mr. Doe's condition. I see Mr. Doe's conversation this morning. I see Mr. Doe's consenting this morning. But in closing, I see Mr. Doe's celebration this morning. I see his celebration, man. Where is he at? Can I preach it in our day? I'm not taking the Bible out of context. Just let me preach it in our day. He's sitting down at the house of God. Jesus walks down to the house of God. And guess who's sitting there, Brother Josh? Oh, Brother John Doe. Oh, Brother John Doe is sitting down at the house of God. That's what the temple was. Let me just bring it in our day. He was sitting down at the house of God, and they got to singing, As the world looks upon me and I struggle along. And all of a sudden, there was an old fella that a lot of people used to look at the wrong way. They said, Boy, he's got a bad past. His life was in, well, amen. His life was in shambles, and nobody cared about him. He lived in a hopeless condition. And all of a sudden, old Brother John Doe stands up and goes, Can I just tell you about the day that Jesus came down where I was at? I couldn't get to where he was at. My life was in a mess. The condition of my life wouldn't let me get to where he was at. But he come down there at the muck and the mire where nobody else wanted to be. And he made, well, amen, he paid me a visit that day. And he changed my life. And I've never been the same. He didn't say the preacher done it. He didn't say the angel done it. He didn't say the singing done it. He said Jesus made me whole. He began to celebrate what Christ had done in his life. Now, some of you here today, let me back up and rephrase it. There's some of us here today that used to lay in the same place. Hopeless. But Jesus, oh, that's just something about that name. But Jesus come to where we was at and cared for us in our condition. When the world, I can't call names and I can't go into testimonies, but there's some here this morning, the world pushed you to the side. The world said there's no hope for them. If you could be anywhere, and that day you was over there by the pool of Bethesda just hoping something would happen to you. But aren't you thankful Jesus didn't leave you in the hopeless condition that you was in, but he come down your way one day and said, Arise, take up thy bed and walk, amen. Oh, his celebration. I believe everywhere he went. I believe everywhere. He's walking down the road and he's got that bed. Arise, take up thy bed and walk. He's got that bed tucked up underneath his arm. Brother Brian, somebody goes, That's old John. Is that old JD? You know, old JD been laying over yonder. He been on the other side of the tracks. Is that really him? Well, I wonder what happened to him. He's walking now. He's got his bed tucked underneath his arm. His old lifestyle's changed now. Let's go see. You gonna go see what happened to John Doe? I ain't going over there. People label us if we get around him. Come on now. Oh, if they come up in our church. Come on. Come on in the doors, praise God. Maybe they walk over there. Well, John, you sure look different. Can you tell me what happened to you? I sure can. I was laying over there, messed up. My life was in pieces. I thought I was going to die in the condition that I was in. But there was a man named Jesus. Walked up in that place and came right to where I was at and loved me in the condition that I was in and had a conversation with me and told me he can make me whole, and I consented to what he said, and my life has never been the same. What a celebration they had. What a celebration. Father, as we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, you know the need of the service. Father, no doubt there might be somebody here this morning that is in that lost condition. They've never been saved. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd go to their pew right now and you'd have a conversation with them, let them know that you can change their life if they'll let you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And, man, there's several in the altar. I'd say this, if you're saved this morning, you may want to find your place just celebrating a minute around the altar, saying, God, thank you for not leaving me laying over there where I was at. Thank you for not leaving me in the condition that I was in when you found me. Thank you that you didn't walk past me that day, but you chose to have a conversation with me and change my life. Oh, he was a different man. I want to ask this question this morning. Maybe there's one here that if you was to die, you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you'd go to heaven. Would you let me pray for you? I'd not come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Do you slip your hand up and say, hey, preacher, if I was to die today, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, would you pray for me? One anywhere. Maybe you're here and you're saved this morning, but maybe the circumstances of this life and things that you've been through has caused you to maybe get a little cold and indifferent on the Lord. I want to say something to you this morning. Jesus is stopping by having a conversation. Rise, take up thy bed and walk, man. Don't continue in the life that you're living. God's been too good to us. God has blessed us too much. God's brought us too far to quit on him now, to not live a life pleasing to him.